And on today's Windy City Queercast, I am trying to keep up with the Joan Crawford madness. That's right, Steven Rader's on the show, and he is delighted, as am I, that David Serta, a.k.a. Davy Jones from The Jones, is sitting down with us at Halstead's on Halstead, and we are talking about the new Jones CD, plus all things Joan Crawford. Kirk Williamson and I are giving you the news, and Richard Knight Jr. has his review of Hannah Free. Plus, who did I meet? Happens to be my idol. Happens to be my crush. Oh, yeah. And what did I say?
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast. We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
I dreamed that when I woke up, that girl Anne was standing near me with a coffee cup. She served me bacon and eggs on a silver tray and said,
"Good morning, Joan, you look especially beautiful today."
In Joan world,
neighbors are serene.
In Joan world,
everything is clean.
In Joan world,
all the children are polite.
In Joan world,
there's no poverty or blight. The furniture's in plastic and the help's enthusiastic.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 329. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader.
And we are hanging out at Halstead's,
yes,
eating and drinking. What's Steven and I do. I've never been to the Halstead's. It's very exciting here.
There used to be XO, and then it was Voltaire.
Yeah.
And I used to sing right back there.
Yep, I remember when it was Voltaire, and Amy Armstrong used to just insult you as you walked in the door. I loved it.
And the freaking entrance to the stage is outside on the patio, and I played in December.
There you go.
That sucked. You're like, introduce me!
It was horrible.
This is a much better place.
We're hanging out in the hood, which we do, eating and drinking, and we have invited a pal along that we are going to be talking about all his ventures, but we felt like, you know, let's just pull David Serta into the chat, so to speak.
Famous and funny and fabulous.
Hello
there. I'm good.
David Serta right now, and not an AKA Joan.
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones.
Joan,
yeah.
Crawford. Joan. Everything.
We feel like just privileged to get a little piece of you right now because you're just spread all over the place with so many things, which we'll talk about later on. But I have to, since I'm sitting here with I'm sure two pop culture know-it-alls like me
and opinionated
at best. Did you both watch the Emmys last night?
I did. I watched it like for 2 hours.
Yeah. And you got burnt out after 2 hours?
I had a show.
Oh,
and
there
so
you
I
go.
Didn't get home until like 8:30.
Yeah.
So I started watching it.
Yeah.
I watched it on and off, and I just think we should agree that Neil Patrick Harris should host everything from now on.
Wasn't he great?
He's a singing Carson. He's like a little bit of Billy Crystal and a little bit of Carson.
And the likability gay mainstream factor of Ellen.
And he knows how to get in there.
Yep.
But he's a man.
But he's a man, which is different.
Because it's easier for America to swallow a woman gay person.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they can fantasize. And,
yeah.
But, you know, with a man, it's like, and he's an attractive man, too.
Yeah,
it's not
he
like
is.
He's a big
cute.
Fat dork where it's like, oh, well, he's non-threatening sexually. I mean,
yeah.
He is.
No,
and he's a doctor, too. He's a doctor. He was a doctor when he was a kid.
He's a doogie. He's a doogie. And let's just really
so
go there.
Did you fantasize about him when he was Doogie Howser?
I wanted an anal exam. I didn't.
But he's so cute, you know, and he was there with his little boyfriend when he was sitting waiting for his award. And
it was Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog? Come on.
It was great. It was great.
He won. It won, didn't it?
I think it did.
Dr. Horrible won. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The show that was last week.
The Schmimmies.
Yeah. And then his opening song, written by Mark Shaman.
Of course.
I didn't see it.
Brilliant. Of course, written by Mark Shaman. I mean, just genius. And I thought it was a really gay Emmys this year with Cherry Jones winning.
Yeah.
Sarah Paulson was absent, but she's in a play on Broadway. They're not broken up, ladies. Don't start any rumors. And she looked lovely, and she's just so elegant and just represents the community so well. And then I love this, what was her name? Dearbla Walsh, the Irish girl who won, who had directed Little Dorrit, the miniseries for the BBC, thanked her partner as well and raised up the Emmy, you know, saying... you know, there's going to be three of us in the bed tonight, sweetheart, kind of thing, which was really
cute. You know what they're going to do with that Emmy.
Yeah.
You know what they're going to do with it.
Put a prophylactic on it, girls.
Those prongs are going to hurt. It's going to be... Yeah. I don't know how it got there. Just get it out. That'll be what she says in the emergency.
Exactly.
I fell.
Now, do you have a favorite, like, I mean, you have a couple of favorite television shows, and were they nominated?
Well, I had a favorite. I really was rooting for Carol Burnett to win for Best Special Guest Actress in a Drama.
Yep.
For Law and Order. She played, like, a Nora Desmond Birdie character.
Oh, yeah.
She was like multiple husbands, and she was crazy, and she lost to Ellen Burstyn.
Yeah.
Which pissed me off.
But
Carol Burnett's my idol.
I love Carol Burnett too. They had all the great ladies were nominated for Law and Order.
And I wanted the guy from Big Bang to win too.
Oh, I've never watched that show.
Hilarious.
My partner got me starting to watch that because he watches a lot of TV.
Hilarious.
And he is hilarious. He's just like. And he has this real gay vibe.
Oh, very much so. It's
really?
Great Jim. If you're not watching The Big Bang Theory, Jim, is it Parsons with him?
Yes.
He is one of the funniest.
Pretty brilliant.
The whole show is so great. Yeah. And for me, being a complete comic book geek, it's like, oh my God, they're writing something for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love it.
So who looked good last night?
I did. I was at home. I wore nothing.
It was not a night that like I was like oh my god.
I didn't see it, but the person that I'm going out with said that.
Did you? I thought Jessica Lange looked good last night. I was so glad she won.
Me too. I adore her.
And Drew seemed really happy for her, and I do think Drew was the big shocker because she seemed to transform the most. But I thought Jessica Lange was really amazing, and the Great Gardens won too.
And I think without Drew, that wouldn't have gotten made.
No, probably not.
She was the one that
really pushed it, but she had to fight for the part. You know, she went into seclusion. She lived alone. She got rid of all her computers and her phone and everything for.
But did you see she was with the Matt guy?
She is with the Matt guy.
He looked like he was 12.
He's so cute. Yeah.
Which Matt guy? What are you talking
about? He was so cute.
The guy who does
like
the Mac PC commercials. I can't remember his name.
Sometimes I'll go out and I'll see a really hot girl, but she's, a lesbian, but she's one of those real cool modern lesbians that are like
boy guys.
Yeah.
Cute.
And I'm like
Mad Men lesbians.
And I'm like, what's going on here? I'm attracted to this.
Now I thought January Jones, speaking of Mad Men, did look awesome. She had that like almost plastic. It was like drag queens
glass.
Like, doing it.
It was glass. I read it on my
it was like glass news. And that seafoam green
it
and
was
that
like
clear.
Versace or
it was
January Jones.
What a name.
She was named after
porn star
Jacqueline
or
Suzanne novel. Once is Not Enough or something like that. That's why I love her. I love her on that show, too.
Oh, She's great. She's such a cold, there's like
typical
nothing and everything.
Mother.
Yeah, it's genius. Oh, my gosh. Well, hey, you know, we're going to break for real quick. We're going to do some news. And then we're going to come back, Stephen and David and I sitting here chatting. And then a little later on, we're going to talk about David and his exciting career and everything that's taken off.
Oh. Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
The Respect for Marriage Act has been introduced, which would repeal the Defense of Marriage Act in the U.S. House. U.S. Representative Gerald Nadler of New York introduced the measure along with 91 co-sponsors. DOMA, signed into law by then-President Bill Clinton, stops the federal government from bestowing approximately 1,100 federal marriage rights to same-sex couples.
305 businesses out of 590 received the top score in the 2010 edition of the HRC Corporate Equality Index. The 305 top-rated businesses collectively employ more than 9 million full-time employees. And the report shows gains in policies and protections across the board, in particular with transgender workers.
In Florida, out lesbian Jane Castor has been named the first female chief of the Tampa Police Department. Castor will command the department's $133 million budget and employ 1,300 employees. Approximately 300 of the nation's 18,000 police chiefs are women.
The Nashville City Council passed an ordinance banning discrimination against LGBT municipal workers, and a measure banning employment or housing bias based on sexual orientation made history by passing the Ohio House. The bill now goes on to the state Senate.
Members of the LGBT community are upset over a raid of gay bar Atlanta Eagle by the city's police department. 8 Eagle employees were arrested and charged with running an unlicensed business and providing adult entertainment without a license.
Vermont Governor Jim Douglas, a Republican, said that same-sex marriage is a matter of great debate and that it's not something dealing with the economic well-being of our state, the fiscal integrity of Vermont and job creation or affordability. However, a report from the Williams Institute states that same-sex marriage will add more than $30 million to the state's economy.
The DNC has appointed its first transgender member in Barbara Casbar Sipperstein. Casbar Sipperstein, a political director of the Gender Rights Advocacy Association of New Jersey, and she is a member of the New Jersey Civil Unions Review Commission.
And in world news, the European Union has adopted a resolution criticizing a Lithuanian law that bans any mention of homosexuality in schools or in media that young people can access. Lithuania's statute, called the Law on the Protection of Minors Against the Detrimental Effect of Public Information, has been compared to Section 28, a measure that barred homosexuality from being discussed in British schools. The Lithuanian law is slated to go into effect on March 1st.
In what is thought to be the first for Iran, a woman is slated to marry a trans man. The bride told a family court in Tehran that she wanted to marry her best friend, a female who recently became male. Under Islamic law, trans individuals are considered religiously permissible. Iran actually carries out the second highest number of gender reassignment operations in the world after Thailand.
In entertainment news, Buju Banton concerts in Columbus, Cincinnati, and Minneapolis have been canceled. The cancellations come after promoters AEG Live and Live Nation canceled shows in Chicago, Houston, Dallas, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Philadelphia. Banton, a reggae singer, has been criticized for his song's lyrics, which have called for the killing of gay people.
Winning as Best Director for a miniseries in Little Dorrit at this year's Emmys, Dhirubhai Walsh thanked her partner for her patience, love, and support. While holding up her Emmy, she said, "It looks like there are going to be three of us in the bed tonight." Lesbian icon Cherry Jones won for her portrayal of the president on 24, and openly gay Neil Patrick Harris received critical praise as the evening's host.
Same-sex dancers Willem DeVries and Jacob Jason advanced to the next round on So You Think You Can Dance. Judge Nigel Lithgow thanked the couple for showing me that same-sex ballroom dancing can be very strong and very good. And there is a new judge on the show. Openly gay choreographer and film director Adam Shankman will fill that spot.
Thomas Alfredson is the new director of The Danish Girl, a film about the first transgender person. The film will star Nicole Kidman. However, Charlize Theron, who was going to play Kidman's wife, has left the film.
The Ukraine will not allow Elton John and his partner David Furnish to adopt an HIV-positive child, saying that they are not married and are too old. The country's law says that adoptive parents cannot be older than 45 years. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
So I have to tell you all, because I have to tell everybody listening, probably it's not a news item, but it should be a news item. So so many people know that I went to D.C. this weekend to see my idol and icon. If there's one that I would be speechless around, it's Helen Mirren.
Oh, my God.
I flew to D.C. this weekend to see Helen Mirren do Phaedra live and in person.
In person.
Well, because they the National Theater was doing Phaedra.
That's right.
And they did this national campaign where they, in major theaters, and I went to Steppenwolf, you watched it on film live from the National Theater. I did that. I had to see her, like, you know, blood, sweat, skin, like up close. So
she'll fall in your
Life. So I have to thank the people at Whitick Combs who connected me with people, like a powerful gay at NPR in D.C. that got me tickets. I was 12th row center, flew to D.C., was there with an old friend of mine. It was just like when she came on stage, my friend who's a straight guy who I started Greasy Joan with many years ago, he goes, Amy, lean back. It's okay. She's in the room. I was literally, it was so brilliant. The beautiful Dominic Cooper's in it from the History Boys and Mamma Mia, British actor, beautiful. He's very small, but he's very beautiful. And it was just really amazing. You could see how much the show had grown since I saw it in June on film in June at the Steppenwolf. But my friend Robert said when we were leaving, he said, do you want to kind of hang out by the stage door? I mean, you did fly here. Do you want to see if you can see her or meet her? And I was like, no, no, no. Now, my girlfriend would have never done this. My girlfriend hates that kind of stuff so much. But he suggested it, and I was like, you know, I don't want to make you have to wait. And he's like, no, let's wait, let's wait. We waited. I got 6 inches from her. I was absolutely speechless.
What does got 6 inches from her mean?
It means I have a video of me standing over her left shoulder like this, and then she's signing something, and then me saying, hi,
I didn't know if that was like a
show.
Lesbian thing or
no,
something.
No, no, no. And me saying, hi, fantastic show, and her saying, thank you, and walking by.
Wow.
So I have like stood as close to her as I am standing with you all right now. And I was speechless, of which every person I've told this to is like, are you kidding me? So I have 12 seconds of video because my friend Robert grabbed my video camera because I was filming her when she came out the stage door. And then he goes, give it to me, give it to me. He goes, get over there so I can prove you're here. So I'm like behind her, over her shoulder with 12 seconds of video.
Wow.
So now I just have to figure out how to interview her. I thought I could die after that, but you know, the will to live is so strong. So now I want
to... You just splice that into, what is that movie she was in? The porn movie, what is that movie?
Caligula?
You're going to splice that
or
into
the cook,
Caligula.
The thief, his wife, or lover.
You're going to do that. You're going to put it into Caligula.
Yeah.
You're in the scene with her.
Yeah.
I took my
mother. I took my mother in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to see The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, Her Lover when I was 18.
Say?
My mother, in the first 5 minutes when the defecation scene is happening, was like, "Oh, Amy! Oh, good Lord! Oh, good Lord, Amy! What is this? Amy, good Lord! Good Lord!" And my mother, the unconditional love of my mother, sat through the whole fucking film. So, folks, I have met my idol, my crush. Like my absolute, like I told Kelly, I said, if she says hi and invites me to her room, you know, it's fair game.
Yeah. I have a list.
There's so no list. Like, it's her. Like, that's my whole list, you know? I know.
Who's like, there's not like a second, like Billie Jean King isn't second.
No! Not Billie Jean King.
I love you, Billie Jean.
I love
She's
the
Diane. She's very nice.
Billie Jean's not my lover.
You want to do her.
She's just a girl.
I love the Diane Lane. Every now and again, I have a Catherine Zeta-Jones little thing, but she can't speak. I don't like her to talk. I just like her to ride.
Mariska Hargitay.
Mariska Hargitay is awesome and gorgeous, and my girlfriend has met her because she knows her husband really well, Peter Harmon.
Okay.
So she said she's as gorgeous, and Kelly's met her and said she's lovely, and yeah. But I mean, who I really just like, you know, if I need to go to Fantasy Island, Helen Mirren is on my top.
Fantasy Island. We just dated ourselves. And the sex is fabulous.
What's that? I don't know.
Really. So what was your weekend like, Stephen?
I was in Hilton Head.
How was the Redneck Riviera? That's not the Redneck Riviera.
That's what
like
Mama calls it.
Everyone's out of town.
Yeah.
Hilton Head, Washington.
Yeah.
That was great.
Us have given up trying to be artistes, David.
Oh,
we just can't do it anymore.
Nah, don't lie.
Well, the best part for me literally was that usually I can't go because my mother and my brother who I was with don't like going, but this year they felt sorry for me, guys. I hadn't been, so we drove into Savannah 30 minutes away.
Oh, I love Savannah.
I got to eat at the Lady and Sons Paula Deen's restaurant.
Paula Deen!
Wow.
Did you see her?
No, I didn't see her, but
did you have that, like,
tasted her, let me tell you.
Did you have that two Krispy Kremes with a burger put in the middle of it?
I did not have that, but I have made that, and it's fabulous. And don't ever... if you scoff at two Krispy Kremes...
Honey, I want you to make me one. I've never had one. It's only legend. I've heard of it.
I make her Krispy Kreme bread pudding, and it's to die for.
Why don't you make that for me? We could just eat that during a podcast.
Oh, but it was
my friend Bridget would love...
Oh, I know. We talk about this all the time.
Bridget loves Paula Deen.
Bridget actually wants to do the Julia thing with Paula Deen's hook.
Right.
Genius.
Well, okay, wait. But you got a t-shirt there that I'm already coming.
Other than having the buffet, which if you go to this restaurant and you don't get the buffet, you're a fool. Because there's fried chicken.
You're a fool.
You aren't. There's fried chicken and there's like mashed potatoes and gravy and there's greens that melt in your mouth. It's amazing.
They got some vinegar on the side?
Of course.
Of course.
I actually dated a guy who said he was from the South and I didn't think he was. You're lying.
And
you're
then he put
the
vinegar
South.
On his collar?
And he put vinegar on his greens. I was like, well, by God, you're from the South.
Damn right, it,
fine.
You are.
But if he hadn't put them on there, I'd have been, liar! You know, like that.
So you're both from the South.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're both from about an hour apart.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
And we met here.
Something
really
in the water.
Something in the water. And we all float up to here. We all float up to Chicago.
She has a
all
new
the homos do.
Store right beside the restaurant. And it's the Paula Deen store. You know, and I got a t-shirt that on the back it says, put some South in your mouth.
I want one. Put some South in your mouth.
And she used to have, when you go there, she has some kind of garlic biscuits. And she has hoe cakes.
Yeah.
That you get for free.
Excuse me?
And hoe cakes are these little, like, they're about like little shell, you know, round and flat. And they were made on hoes back when people used to, you know, they would go at work in the day and they'd clean their hoe off and put this batter on there. Thank you.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would. So, but they're complimentary with your meal.
Yeah, it's good for them.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. All right, fine. And she, so all of her waiters and waitresses when I went there the last time had t-shirts in the back of them said, our hoes are complimentary.
You like, just gotta love her.
This is why I love this woman.
She stretches it.
I just saw her on the Kathy Griffin show.
Wasn't she hilarious on that
show?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
She was so funny. She was, my mother wants her husband, basically.
Yeah, your mother wants her husband.
I had a very good time back home.
Well,
I'm glad to be back here.
You're glad to be back here. Well, we are going to take one more break because some of our noshy food has arrived. Richard Knight Jr. is going to take us to Hannah Free, which is my boss, Tracy Bain, was the producer of this film, Hannah Free. It's based on a play by Claudia Allen that has now been made into an independent film. It's been playing all the film festivals, and it's going to be playing here at the Gene Siskel Film Center in Chicago, and maybe it's come to a city near you if you're not here. You can go to hannahfree.com and get information. But Richard Knight Jr. is going to give us his review right now, and then we'll be back talking to David Serta about the Jones.
Want to take your tennis game to the next level? Midtown Tennis Club wants to send you back to school for its patented instruction program, Tennis Schools. Whether you're a beginner or advanced intermediate, Tennis Schools has a program to fit your game. Enrollment in Tennis School starts at only $105 and includes a four-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, including access to Midtown's fitness center, practice lanes, and locker rooms, as well as invitations to two tennis parties and instructions from the country's best pros, all starting at $105. That's less than $30 per lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago and just click on the tennis schools link. Who said school can't be fun?
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Mega Minute. Ladies, your dream has finally come true. Sharon Gless, star of the iconic Cagney and Lacey, Queer as Folk, Burn Notice, Nip Tuck, and dozens of other TV projects, is finally playing a lesbian. And rejoice, it's in a lesbian-themed film called Hannah Free, coming to movie theaters around the country in the coming months. Gless stars as the title character playing in her first feature film since Airport 75. How about that? Hannah Free is a moving character drama with a screenplay by outwriter Claudia Allen based on her acclaimed stage play. The film spans the lives of its title character, played at intervals by Glass and Kelly Strickland, and the love of her life, Rachel, played by Maureen Gallagher and Anne Hageman. From childhood on, Hannah has been the free spirit, Rachel the conventional one. The one constant between them is a fierce love, and though Hannah is bitten by the travel bug, she always returns to Rachel, who has married, given birth to twins, and been widowed. Circumstances find Hannah and Rachel both confined to a nursing home at the end of their lives. Rachel in a prolonged coma and Hannah feisty and mad as hell because Rachel's grown daughter, Marge, played by Taylor Miller, won't let her see her. Hannah just wants to say a proper goodbye, but the indifferent, unfeeling staff and the immovable Marge stand in her way. A particularly bitter blow because the object of her affections is just down the hall. Like many other One Last Wish Before I Die movies, like A Trip to Bountiful, the quest for dignity in the face of death provides an emotionally fraught, compelling journey. There's much more to this moving yet funny film, which is highlighted by Allen's beautifully simple yet poetic writing and the performances of the mostly female cast, with, of course, Gless, who gives a tremendous full-body performance topping the list. Gless brings her vast experience with emotionally difficult characters to bear in the role, and the movie crackles whenever she's on screen. Though clearly made in a small budget, the material and performances are strong enough to outweigh most of the quibbles I might have had on that score. It's a depressingly masculine world, Judy Parfitt tells Kathy Bates at one point in the film Dolores Claiborne. But a labor of love movie like Hannah Free, with its feminist point of view, shot in Chicago by a coterie of lesbian artists, which include Allen, director Wendy Jo Carlton, editor Sharon Zurich, score composer Marty Merrill, who all produced along with Tracy Baim, full disclosure, publisher of Windy City Times, beautifully defies that edict for audiences of every persuasion. It's a really, really moving film. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute. Mega Minute. Boy, that was a long one.
Hey, this is Carson Kressley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
It's time to hunker down. We're coming to your town.
Vacation time is through, so get ready, we're coming for you.
We are the Jones.
Hey, you, get off your tail.
We are the Jones.
Fix your face and do your hair.
We are the Jones.
It's time to reevaluate.
We are the Jones.
You are the masters of your fate.
We are the Jones.
Why sit at home feeling all alone, watching your life pass you by?
As we've been sitting here the whole show with the fabulous David Serta, he is the mastermind behind Helena Handbag Productions, and he's just finishing up the hit run of Poseidon Upside Down musical. But David has another venture, which was why I rang him up and said, we've got to have you on the show. I know I've been traveling and missed the big CD release party, the first one, but there are going to be more, I'm sure. But his other venture is his band, The Jones. It's described as the personification of Miss Joan Crawford in a rock and roll band. And the band's just really taking off. You know, they've been playing for years around a lot of clubs and a lot of festivals in Chicago. But you know they've made their mark when the CD comes out, and it's fabulous, and it actually captures the essence of what it's kind of like to see them. You really need to see them to see them. But it definitely captures what they're about and the feel and the nostalgia and the hilarity, the irony and all that is the Jones. So, David, congratulations on the CD.
Thank you.
Now,
I
bet there's been a long time that people have been saying, when are you going to do a CD? When are you going to do a CD?
Yes, because the Jones started 2 years ago. And so we actually started working on the CD over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But when a bunch of people who are adults and have grown-up jobs and theater companies and other projects, it just took us a long time to do it, and then we had to keep getting the money together. And,
well worth the wait.
And I'm just glad it didn't turn out horrible.
No, it's fantastic. When I told Stephen, I was like, you know, I'm thinking of having David on the show, and he's like, oh my God, yes, I want to be there. So
it's great.
I'll
just say this about the Jones. I saw them, Jackhammer?
Flesh-Hungry Dog Show.
Flesh-Hungry Dog Show, and I walk in to see the Jones, and there's a band playing, and all the men are playing, and they're all naked. Everyone was naked playing instruments, and I went, when are the Jones coming on? I was like, this is some bullshit. Like, I didn't care. It's
bullshit.
So smart. It I really think it, this sounds stupid, but go with me. It okay. reminds me of what Dolly Parton is, not what she does, and that there's a gimmick to get you in the door. But once you're in the door, it follows through, and it's really smart.
And on our website, it says, come for the gimmick, stay for the music.
I mean, it really is that. It's smart, it's fun, it's funny, and it's a really fucking good band.
So it starts, though, you say start with the gimmick, but it starts obviously with your affinity with Joan Crawford. And yes. I want to know where, because that's even a little bit, you know, is the, you know, there's a historical context too there for the Hell in a Handbag. Where, what is the genesis of kind of like the spark that ignited with you and Joan Crawford? Your whole life? Can you even remember when?
It wasn't my whole life. It was when I was little, I used to love Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, but that's.
It didn't freak you out.
I always fell asleep.
Did you?
Because it was so long, and I was a kid. But my mom would let me watch that for some reason. Yeah. She wouldn't let me watch a lot of scary movies, but that she would let me watch. And my affinity for Joan didn't start until in my early 30s.
Yeah.
And when I kind of like got I think everything Joan Theater when I got sober.
Yeah.
That lifted the fog.
Yep.
And I just started like watching things and trying things and writing and it's sort of like, oh, this Joan thing, you know. She just fascinated me and kind of like all roads led back to her.
What are your favorite Joan Crawford roles or movies?
My favorite Joan Crawford.
Or if people need it, people like don't know Joan Crawford. What is the worst and what is the best?
If they don't know Joan Crawford, they're not listening to this because they're not gay.
Yes, but some people like might know one film or know who she is. But if you had to say, these are the top three to get a great sampler of Joan Crawford in film, what would you say?
Well, I think
Torch Song.
Torch Song, yeah. Torch Song. That's Joan at her campy best.
Uh-huh. I just saw that line.
Mildred Pierce.
Mildred Pierce, definitely.
Lovely.
I mean, they gave her the Academy Award for that, and she deserved it.
Yeah. I remember seeing that on the Turner Broadcast Network when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like... Gee, that's tough. I like her in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, but I like her in Rain, too.
Ooh.
Where she played Sadie Thompson.
I've never seen Rain.
It's great.
I'm asking
really
more for myself, obviously, I guess.
Yeah, and when she was younger, she didn't really have that hard Joan look that she developed.
Yeah.
So her films in her 30s, she's actually this bright, witty, flowery, exciting young woman, you know?
So
she had a big flapper. She was a big...
She was the personification of beauty and youth, according to F. Scott Fitzgerald.
So what happened? I mean, the affinity for the gay community and Joan Crawford, did it really come with Faye Dunaway and Mommy Dearest to a heightened sense? I mean,
the affinity for the people that know her now, a lot of them, but Christina Crawford, it kind of like backfired on her.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of Joan fans...
You guys finished with this?
Yes. A lot of Joan fans didn't know who she was until Mommy Dearest, and they thought Joan Crawford was... her. They didn't even realize it was Faye Dunaway playing Joan Crawford, and then the people who were interested in her explored deeper and got to know Joan Crawford, the actress, and
so what are the distortions in The Mommy Dearest? I mean, are there so many that you can't name them, or there are not that many distortions? It just really shone a light on, I mean, obviously the performance from Faye Dunaway is so over the top, and you know, and she continued that with Supergirl, one of my favorites of the canon. Now I'm really upset.
I love that. Selena.
But are there...
And the temp.
And the temp. But are there, I mean, you know, we give her, obviously, she brings it all home with Network, where she's brilliant.
Right.
But, so she, you know, the good with the bad. But, and with the great, and the legend. But where are some places that, you know, the film and the portrayal really steered wrong, and now has become truth, or do you know?
It's hard to tell, because I think if you crammed all the bad stuff in you've ever done in a two-hour film, it's going to make anybody look bad.
Yeah.
I don't think Joan was a good mother. I think she had a drinking problem, too.
Yeah.
I think she was the Madonna of her time. She kept reinventing herself, and so the pressure was incredible. So she probably was a bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But she did it, you know, she was in film for 5 decades.
Yeah.
And You know, Joan's other children, the two twins, the younger children, deny any of that. You know, didn't say she was not like that. And if you ask me how my mother was, and you ask my younger brother and sister, you'll get two different versions, because my mother was really different around me than she was around my younger brothers and sisters.
So, okay, so you have this connection with this woman, you had portrayed her on stage with your company, Helena Handbag.
Many times.
How then the leap to having a rock and roll band of Joan Crawford, of the Jones, where you portray Davy Jones, one of the front Jones. And I mean, real quickly, tell us who the Jones are. I mean, the real and the fictional.
The Jones are myself. I'm Davy Jones, and we all take the last name of Joan. It's
right.
Jennifer Connelly as Jennifer Jones, Aaron Smith as Aaron Jones, Taylor Ross as Taylor Jones, and Ed Jones as Ed Jones, and Steve Jarosh as Steve Jones.
Okay, and so how did the idea come, and how did you all come together?
The idea actually came about 3 years ago. And we were trying to think of things to do for a Helena Handbag benefit, and I love rock and roll music. I was a new waver and a punk rocker in the late 70s and early 80s, and I just, what I do is, with my obsessions, I try to make art out of my obsessions rather than just obsess about them. That's why...
I can relate to that. That's what I did with Xena. I just
raised
a lot of
right,
fucking money
exactly.
So a warrior princess could save me on stage.
Right,
and
right.
And people could scream about it.
And that's why I'm in the Poseidon Adventure, because I've always wanted to be that in that movie, and that's why I did a musical about it.
Yep.
And I wanted everybody to know about that. And I wanted people to know about Joan Crawford, and I wanted to dress like Joan and be like her and be a bitch. But I wanted a rock and roll interpretation of her. So that's why my Joan is, she's glam, but she's also real gritty. She's very downtown diva bitch.
And so it happened as a benefit idea.
I was doing that night, I believe.
Were you at the benefit?
Yes, I was.
And our first show was a handbag benefit, and we did Mad at the Dirt, which Aaron Smith wrote.
Uh-huh.
And we did Joan Crawford Goes to Hell, which I wrote, and I had done a play about 9 years ago called Joan Crawford Goes to Hell.
Right, right, right.
And so I always liked that title, and it just, the reaction was so fantastic. Steven and Gary Ward, and people were so encouraging that I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I've always wanted to be a singer, but... I'm not a singer.
You are a singer. You're totally a singer.
It was just one of those.
And you're obviously a writer. I mean, are the ideas for each of the songs are obviously inspired by what? By I can tell.
I'm going to brag on him right now.
Yes.
When Rami Dyrus was playing at the Music Box a few years ago, Christina Crawford was there at the.
Oh, you're kidding!
Yeah, I remember sitting in the audience. They had all these Joan masks you could wear, and I was quoting the movie along with the screen. And this straight guy was with his girlfriend. Right, why he was there, no clue. But he turned around like maybe a third of the way through the movie and went, "How do you know all of this?" And I was like, "Well." I can't throw a ball, but I can do this. You know? And listening and watching what they do on stage, it's so interwoven with little pieces of dialogue from the movie,
her real life.
If you know them, it's like you understand how intricate the puzzle is.
And it's just genius. A tough dame. It's just... One of the reasons I love Joan Crawford and other people like Jackson Suzanne is, like, she... made herself. Joan didn't go to theater school. I didn't go to college. I didn't, you know, I started writing and acting on my own.
Yeah.
I don't read or write music. I just did it. I willed myself to do it. Just like Joan.
Yeah.
Joan has no formal training. You know?
Now this lovely song, The Girl Next Door, it comes from a famous line of hers, not from a film, right? If you want the girl next door, go next door. If you want the girl next door, go next door. And I think, like, even for that, like, it just shows the spirit of the person, the spirit of the woman, you know? Now, how do you all write? I mean, does somebody come up with, like, let's write a song about this line? Or how do you...
On the water?
How do you write once you get to an idea for something and then get the music and then get the lyrics? I mean, how does the process work?
Sometimes it is as easy as...
Because we should say that the sound, and you're hearing these songs on the show, you know, the sound has that 1960s rock beat to it. You know, there's no effects on the guitar. There is, you know, there's a kind of clarity of instrument that it has, like a naivete, I guess, to me, of like the 1960s. And
right.
then the lyrics that are on top of that have no naivete. You know, or not naivete, but they're so sophisticated.
Thank you.
And that's the nice juxtaposition of kind of like when you look at even all different kinds of artists and sounds of the 60s, that's kind of the same, you know, until we get to the 70s and people start playing with different, you know, effects. I think came in a lot more in the 70s with either keyboards or guitars and all
that.
Yeah, that
stadium rock, overblown.
Yeah.
Bullshit stuff.
Or, you know, the drug culture that kind of came in the 70s. But I kind of just love that tone that you all have hit, you know, and then when it butts up against with these lyrics. So that's why I'm like,
well, I think
if you come in and write the lyrics, then is there somebody else that's in, you know,
I write the lyrics and the melody, or some when like we were there and he wrote the lyrics and the melody, and then Taylor Ross takes it and modes it into a song, because I don't know, I can't say, all right, I want a three chord change here. I don't know what the hell that means. I go, I want, I'll make a noise and tell him what I want. And Taylor just molds. He knows me well enough where he'll mold it into and what we want. And Jennifer will give feedback, and Steve will, we riff together, and that's how Trog came about. We're like, well, we want to do a song about Trog, and I was just like, well, let's just tell the story of the movie. And I just imagine Ed, you know, because I know what this would be a perfect song for Jennifer, or this would be a great song for Ed, or no, I want to do this.
So how do you get Jennifer and Ed and Taylor to go along with your crazy obsession?
I don't know. I've been really lucky that when I ask people to do things, they usually do it.
I think you're selling yourself way short, because I think anybody in town who sings and is an actor is watching the Jones going, God damn it. But I want to be up there with you. I mean, that whole room at the CD opening was just like, ugh. They are doing it. You know, when you watch your friends and you see their shows and you see what they produce, I mean, all that you write is great, but this just clicked with something. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, and I mean, Jennifer Connelly, she is the perfect person to be in.
Oh, my God. I waved at her at that show.
She's not acting.
Well, she's not. I waved at her, like, before the show, and she literally, like, took her cigarette and threw it at me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow.
She's not in charge of PR.
But it's really great. Like, the thing that you do, they did at Jackhammer, that made me go, okay, I now have to officially call this my favorite group. When you said, a few minutes ago, a reporter asked me what I would say and how I would describe the marriage between Jackhammer and the Jones. I said it was a hell of a match! I was like, that is right out of the goddamn movie.
Yeah, not everybody gets it.
Not everybody gets it, and it's so funny.
Wait,
and
I don't get it. What's out of the right
That's
movie?
Right when she's doing her thing, when she marries the guy from Pepsi.
Uh-huh.
And Mommy Dearest.
Al Steele and Mommy Dearest. And
yep.
Faye Dunaway.
And she comes to
the marriage being,
no, she says that at the reception for the wedding.
Soda pop and the queen of Hollywood.
Hell of a match.
Hell of a match.
Yeah. Like, weird, like you know where to find the boys and the booze. When you polish the floor, you have to move the tree. I'm sure that'll be a song one day.
I think you have to do Tear Down That Bitch of a Barren Wall.
Tear down that bitch of a wall.
Of a barren wall.
So, okay, so if people are not you two, which are a rare breed, is there something for everybody in the Jones?
Absolutely.
I mean,
yes, because my nephews and nieces love the Jones. And they're ages 5 through 11, and they sing Mad at the Dirt to me all the time. My sister let them see Mad at the Dirt, and they watched the video with their Uncle David dressed as Joan Crawford. And they just love it.
Yeah.
So you don't
have to know the in-jokes. If you know the in-jokes, you'll know them. And maybe you'll be intrigued to go and learn more about Joan.
I'll tell you what it will also say, that to David's credit, and it'll answer your question. When in Mad at the Dirt, when they... where I can close the door and yell, fuck you, Norma Shearer. How many people now know how big of a star Norma Shearer was?
Yeah.
They all know Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
So you're right, that book did backfire. It really did backfire.
It really did.
Who's an Armin Shearer? And I love that there are these muscle boys at the Joan show who don't know who this woman is. And you're screaming, fuck you, Armin Shearer! They love it.
Yeah.
No clue.
Yeah, no clue.
Who she is. It's really kind of genius.
It's really fun. And I don't know, with the video, Peter Neville did our video.
It's a great video.
He did a fantastic job. And that's just
the... Did you write all the little things in between? Like,
yes.
They're great.
Now, where... When people want to get more information, when people want to get more information about you, you all do have a website now.
The Jones, thejonesband.com.
We'll have that linked on our show notes so people can get the...
And we have a MySpace page.
Ooh, is it just the Jones?
Yeah, and it has the songs on there, and you can get a CD on the website, and T-shirts, and...
Now, how...
Carol Ann's panties.
Carol Ann's panties. How far are you going to... How far are you hoping to tour? Do you think you're going to... Are you all really trying to get some people to get you out and out,
you know,
farther from the Midwest?
We're very realistic because we're not... We're not spring chickens. We really would like to just get the CD out there and the video and make certain appearances different places. We're too old to pile ourselves into a van.
But somebody submitted your video to Logo. Come on, tell me
I did.
Good
and,
for you.
And that's like I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I haven't heard back from them.
Yeah. Submit it again.
I've done it.
Submit it.
I will.
Every 3 weeks.
If they play it once... It'll probably have its own goddamn show.
Play it, submit it to them every 3 weeks. They will not forget your name. They will know it's coming like clockwork.
So your listeners, please, if you know who I should submit it to at Logo, please let me know. I need an in.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to some people. Johnny Dangerous and other people in town that have videos.
I emailed Johnny Dangerous and asked him, and I didn't hear a reply.
All right, well, I know some other folks. Some other folks that you can email. So we'll that have also got videos playing. So we'll figure
I
that
love
out.
You, Johnny.
Oh, we have a celebrity feud.
Uh-oh,
like
I love
Rosie
it.
The Rosie Trump thing.
The road in the sand.
This is like
been...
the Taylor Swift Kanye thing.
Now, have you got other appearances lined up?
We are opening. We're playing at the opening of the Reeling Gay and Lesbian Film
fantastic.
Festival because
in November?
Our video is submitted. There's a music video category. So we're playing that November 5th, I believe.
Yeah, probably.
And we're playing Christmas with the Crawfords.
Yes.
We're doing a Christmas show at Jackhammer.
Oh,
Flesh Hungry Dog Show. We're headlining it, and we're going to have a special Jones Christmas song.
No, we're just the gayest band out there. That's what I love. It's
we
just
are
queer,
gay, but
queer,
it's,
queer. But I know, but it's queer.
It's queer, but...
It's super queer.
Straight,
let me say that.
Love it.
Oh, that's okay. They love the queers.
It's just like Handbag. The old gay, old gray, straight people love my shows, and they don't... It doesn't bother that I'm in drag.
So what's next... They probably prefer it. So what is next for Handbag? Helena Handbag.
We're doing Rudolph the Red-Hosed Reindeer.
Which I fucking love.
We gave it a break last year.
It's just a staple. You have to. It was not holidays without it. It's just not.
I'm updating it, and I'm also working on... I'm working on a couple of things, and they just happen to be Joan-related for Handbag.
Oh.
But I'm working on a Mildred Pierce parody. I'm certifying Mildred Pierce.
There you go.
And we did a benefit reading of it at Hydrate, and it went really, really well.
I do a mean Eve Arden. A mean Eve Arden.
Don't say that, because if I asked you to be in it...
You have to be in it.
And you can't do it.
He'll kill me.
I hate you.
ask him.
I love that movie. It's so
and, I'm working on a... I guess I can say it. I'm working on a musical project with John Steinhagen.
Oh!
Flamingo Road. A parody of Flamingo Road. And John
Steinhagen
is really...
The Divine? The Divine?
No. Flamingo Road is a Joan Crawford.
Oh, it is a Joan Crawford. See, this is where my knowledge of Joan Crawford...
And it's about a carnival dancer that tries to work her way up into society.
That's a great comedy.
John loves old movies like I do, and we both speak that tough Dane language.
Mm-hmm.
John's one of the gayest straight guys I know.
Amen to that. Amen
brilliant.
To that.
So,
we should do the what is the number she does when she's in blackface?
Oh, Torch Song.
Yes.
Two-faced woman.
Oh, it's the craziest thing
well,
in
well, that's
whole
what
world.
I base all of my Jones outfits.
You
on
ever
that? Notice
oh,
that
yeah.
I have that long
yes.
plate in the back and the legs?
I destroy that line. Smile or get another bowl.
So, yeah.
I'm
so
getting
I'm
such an education. I love
and
it.
I'm keeping uber busy.
You are keeping uber busy. Well, everybody should get the CD. Check out thejonesband.com. You can find out all about the band. You can see all the Jones members. You can buy the CD. You can find out where they're playing. They will be at Reeling if you're coming to Chicago, if you're not from here, for the big film festival. Great excuse to come. And you can check all out about the Handbag Productions at handbagproductions.org. That's Helena Handbag.
That's it.
Congrats on your fantastic run with Poseidon. And everybody will be looking for Rudolph the Red Hose at Christmas time.
At Mary's Attic.
At Mary's Attic. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Perfect. So, David, it's been so great to hang out here in the sports bar with you and talk about Joan Crawford.
Oh, Amy and Stephen, it's been lovely.
We must do it again.
I'd rather be here with you than anywhere else in the world.
My wonderful fans.
I'm here with a cast member of Mel Brooks' brand new Broadway musical, Young Frankenstein.
Nah.
First of all, may I just say that you look fabulous. Mel Brooks' last show, The Producers, was a smash hit on Broadway and won a record 12 Tony Awards.
Mm-hmm.
This must be a huge break for you.
Nah.
Can you give us just a little taste of the show?
Bullseye!
Lovely. Now, is it true you make fierce love to Dr. Frankenstein's fiancée, Elizabeth? I see. So tell me, sir, what do you do to prepare for a show? Any special routines? Do you stretch and warm up? Get in touch with your character? Maybe relax, meditate, light a few candles? Oh, right. Skip the candles.
The classic Mel Brooks movie is alive and headed to the Cadillac Palace Theater. Young Frankenstein, November 3rd through December 13th. For tickets, call 800-775-2000 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 21st, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Lifeline Theater opens its 27th season with a world premiere adaptation of Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island. A treasure map leads a young man on an expedition to recover a fortune. Treasure Island is playing now Thursday through Sunday until November 1st. More at lifelinetheater.com.
Hailed by the New York Times as one of the greatest dancers in history, ballet legend Mikhail Baryshnikov performs the Chicago premiere of Three Solos and a Duet with Anna Laguna, September 25th through the 27th at the Harris Theater, Chicago. For tickets, visit harristheaterchicago.org. Don't miss Baryshnikov in the dance event of the fall.
Up at Next Theater, it's the end of the world. Do you have a date? Bay Area playwright Peter Notchtrieb's comedy Boom is on through October 11th. Variety loved the show that's full of sex, planet-ruining cataclysms, loads of booze, and said, we're ready for whatever strange places Boom wants to take us. Get tickets for Boom at nexttheater.org.
Do you remember the songs Just a Bill, Conjunction Junction, or Interplanet Janet? Well, a Chicago-created Schoolhouse Rock Live is back. Relive those memories and sing along with the cast while drinking a beer at Mary's Attic in Andersonville on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 8 p.m., now through October 3rd. Get tickets at the door for only $10. Schoolhouse Rock Live. Don't miss it.
American Theater Company presents Yeast Nation, The Triumph of Life, a new musical from the Tony Award-winning creators of Urinetown. In the year 3,458,000 BC, a colony of salt-eating yeasts start an evolutionary chain reaction that changes existence forever. Starring Barbara Robertson, Yeast Nation, The Triumph of Life is playing now. Get your tickets at atcweb.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Stephen, great hanging with you, eating with you. David, great hanging and eating.
Are you saying I'm fat?
I loved it.
No.
Are you saying I'm fat?
I have to tell you,
Stephen,
though.
Stephen, put down that chicken leg.
I have to tell you, though, Stephen, you're going to be so excited. Don't text while I'm talking. They can't see that you're texting.
He's got a man.
I can't believe
he's got
just
a
called
man.
Me out.
I just called you out.
Gentlemen callers. I had 17 gentlemen callers.
Gentlemen callers. I have to tell you what book I bought in the airport and almost read all of it
on
the plane. No, Wishful Drinking, which you told me to get a long time ago.
Isn't it great?
Carrie Fisher.
Isn't it hilarious?
I laughed out loud so many times on the plane ride.
It's one of the funniest things in the world.
Genius. I cannot wait to give it to Kelly to read, but I am so in love with her. So I think you and I need to, like, in the spirit of my Helen Mirren trip to D.C., can we go to New York City and go see the show?
Freaking Oh my god, I would die. I would die.
She's doing press for the show.
Like okay. when she says that when the guy Greg, her friend Greg, died in her bed while they were asleep, she goes, he didn't just die in his sleep, he died in mine. Exactly. She said, people have asked me if he died in the saddle. No, that would make me the saddle.
That would make me the saddle.
I mean, it's some of the fucking funniest stuff in the world.
Brilliant. I mean, I
adore her.
I do too. I mean, she would be insane to be in a relationship with. However,
well,
she's
so am I.
For us. No,
so that's
you're
for,
not.
Oh, please.
Okay, I'm in my own little relationship.
I put the buns on my head all the time. I do that.
I love when she goes, yeah, make my face wider. Pick something to make my face wider. Oh, my God. She's so genius. So it's a great book if you've
and
not read
Kathy
it.
And the Kathy Griffin book. I'm right in the middle of it right now. The official book club selection.
Yes. Okay.
My book.
Well, you'll give us your review. But if you've not read Wishful Drinking, and if you live anywhere near New York City, she is starring on Broadway. Go on Broadway and then type in and let me know how it is, because I am, like, planning a trip to New York City.
I'm there, baby.
It's all I want to see, that and Next to Normal. That would be an
awesome. You want to see Gary Fisher and this show, Next to Normal. You want to see
the bipolar film and the bipolar lady. That's what I want to see.
And Gary Fisher is at Studio 54.
Yeah.
How fucking great is that?
It's great.
I mean, who could...
It's our bipolar New York City tour.
If Liza fell into a vat of vodka, it couldn't get better. I mean, that would be... Yeah. It's genius.
She loves the gays. Maybe she'd be on her queer cast. Well, we're going to put that out there.
She married one, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah.
And had her kid. So we're going to put that out in the universe. And hopefully what we send out will come back to us. And that will be Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher.
At Halstead.
You're my only hope.
You're my only hope. We would love it. Have a great week, everybody.
Straight jacket, and I did drug. Now I sit in my penthouse with my Pekingese.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at AA.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.